Today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast is a bit of a rambly mess. And what I mean by that is it's a bit of a thought exploration into giving grace and performance management and the ability words, culpability, responsibility, accountability, and on. And I hope you're here for it. To another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at The Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Howdy, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host with the most. I don't know about that, but I am Sam Goodman, and I am super pumped to be here with you today. Man, I am glad that you are here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whether you are a brand new listener, you just now found this little community of the Hop Nerd Podcast and the Hop Nerd LLC, or if you are a long-time listener, many, many, many of you have been hanging around this podcast since the very, very, very beginning, since the beginning of me recording this thing in my car. I think the first episode was recorded in my car. How crazy is that? At the time, I think it was called Anchor. I don't even think that's a thing anymore. Podcast friends, you could tell me if that's still a thing, but I believe that it was called Anchor, and I got it because I had this like handy dandy app, right? You could just record a podcast on your phone. So I remember that first kind of trailer, promo, whatever that first episode was. I don't even remember what I kind of talked about, but I was going to work at a power plant, going to my day job, and getting there at the ass crack of dawn, zero dark 30. And I would always go in and get in a little bit early to sit there in the car listen to some podcasts, rock out to some music, and most importantly, drink some coffee while I was doing that. You know, building up that bit of like give a damn for the day. And so those first episodes, I did it at that time at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting in my car at the power plant in the parking lot, recording a podcast. And that's where it all started. And then that evolved to doing it in a little corner in my house, which then evolved to the studio that we had in downtown Phoenix. Many of you remember the studio days. Man, I love that studio. That was just a really, really, really great place. We moved outside of downtown Phoenix and out farther into the desert. So the commute was just too much to handle. So when we moved out here, we got a space that had more room, right? So I had in our new place, it's not our new place, it's a few years old now at this point, but in our place out here in the county outside of Phoenix, we had room for the podcast and the office and all that kind of sort of stuff. So we eliminated the need to commute to a studio, and here we are today. That's a long, rambly way of saying thank you for being around for almost, we're inching our way towards 400 episodes of the Hop Nerd Podcast. How insane is that? I'm not even going to guess what episode we're on today, but how cool. So before we dive into today's episode, I guess we need to say this. Thank God the election's over. You know me. I don't get political. I don't care. And what I mean by that is I have my political opinions. You have yours, and I love you. That's it. I really don't care. I don't care what your opinions are. I hope you don't care what mine are. And in the spirit of that, I don't feel the need to share. The one thing that I will share is thank God. No matter how you feel about how the election turned out, I think we can all agree that I am freaking tired. I'm so tired of getting 47 text messages every single day asking me who I'm voting for. Like, I'm so freaking tired. The people knocking on the doors and, my God, my mailbox. And this is just for my U.S. friends. I always forget that Australia folks, I know, you're like 40% of the podcast audience, right? It's about 40% Australia, 40% U.S., and the rest just scattered around the world. But for all my U.S. friends, I don't know how you feel, but I'm so tired of the texts. I'm so tired of the phone calls, the door knockers, the door hangers. I'm so tired of opening up my mailbox and it overflowing with sheets of paper telling me that so-and-so's the devil or so-and-so's the devil. And they both say the same things. It's just like they change out the name. And I'm just glad that it's over. So no matter how you feel about how it turned out, I guess it's either my sympathies or my congratulations. I don't know. But I don't care. But I'm just happy that it's over. And I hope you feel the same way, too. So we got that big news out of the way. I was traveling when that happened. I was in North Carolina, and it was interesting because the place where we were doing a two-day deep dive into HOP and operational learning, it was a local community center town hall thing that this organization had rented out for our class, because it was a lot of folks. It was like 40-ish folks that we had gathering together. I remember the text messages from the night before. It's like, hey, listen, they're voting here the day before. Hope the building is still there. Let's see how it goes. But it was fine. It was fine. We were joking, but yeah, you never know, right? You never know. So thank God that's over. Other updates. Still working on the Starting Points app. We're going back and forth with Apple. We're going back and forth with the Google Play Store. This is complicated. It is a nightmare to get these things up and going, but it's coming. It's still coming. I'm looking for Android beta testers still. I still need like 10 or 15 more people. So if you do use an Android device and you want to test the app for totally like free and play with it and tell us what we need to improve, let us know. You need to be able to download the app. So first rule, you got to have an Android device. You have to download the app, and you have to keep the app on your phone for at least a few weeks. Hopefully you use it. Hopefully you experiment with it. But to make it count, even if you don't use it or experiment with it, you got to have it on your phone for at least a couple weeks. You got to download it and not delete it for, let's just call it, a month. Yeah, so hopefully you play with it. Hopefully you use it. If you're interested in that, send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, with your email included, and I will add you to that list. So we've got that coming. I've got a trip coming up next week. I'll be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for a couple days. This week, I'm doing some operational learning facilitation and things like that. I told you last week I was in North Carolina. I've got some virtual stuff coming up. I'm trying to take it a little slow, I guess, for the remainder of the year as we get towards these holiday season. But I will tell you that if you need a hand, I have some dates available on my calendar. My year has been stinking busy, and I know that some of you, we just haven't quite had the opportunity to make certain dates work. We've tried. I know. We've tried, and there's just been too much overlap or too much going on. We've not been able to make things happen. There are some dates left throughout the remainder of 2024, and as we move into 2025, let me know if you need a hand. If you want to do one of those two-day deep dive workshops into HOP and operational learning, if you want to do a quick HOP basics awareness something, if you need help facilitating operational learning teams or have a co-facilitator coach some of your learning team facilitators or anything else in between, maybe you got that big Christmas party and for whatever reason you want to have me do a keynote at a Christmas party. I don't know. I've done wackier things. Maybe I can turn it into some stand-up. Boom. I'm bad at that. That's not going to work. But really, anything in between. Shoot me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Hopnerd LLC and some of the services that I provide, you can go to thehopnerd.com. But get in touch before those days are gone, or at least if those days aren't gone, before I say, nope, it's Thanksgiving. Yeah, so let me know what else is going on. I guess the other thing that I want to brag about is we are moving deeper into the Phoenician wintertime, meaning that I am sitting here today recording this podcast. I am wearing my Crocs and I'm wearing my shorts and I'm wearing a nice hooded sweatshirt, the Phoenix winter attire, because it is a balmy 66 degrees right now as I'm recording this, with a high of 76 today. So for those of you that have heard me complain about the heat and hear me complain about the heat all through the summer months, you don't have to hear that anymore. You get to hear me brag about, our perfect weather while it's snowing wherever you are at. So that's all I've got as far as an update. Let's jump right on in to today's episode. So today I was having a really interesting conversation around performance management and coaching and leadership and around the ability words. The ability words that I think our organizations confuse quite a bit. And I don't know that I have a super clear-cut answer for you either around the ability words. There are a lot of folks out there that want to sell you some answers on those things, but it is a bit confusing around the ability words. And what I mean by the ability words are responsibility, our most favorite, accountability, culpability. Yeah, in our work worlds, a lot of times we wrap those together to mean one thing, disciplinary action. And in some of our work worlds, those words, what they truly translate into is blame, shame, retrain. Yeah, that hamster wheel of mediocrity that we talk about around safety and so much more. Things go wrong. Things get weird. Maybe we see behavior that we don't like to see. And we move towards blame, shame, and retrain. And I think we do that for a couple reasons. The first one, I think it has to be stated that it feels really good. It feels really good and it feels like the right thing to do. We like that as people. We like finding the wrongdoer, the villain, the problem. And people are really easy to pin problems on. Yeah, people are really easy to be made out to be villains. People are really easy to blame. Especially when there's an outcome that's a bit surprising and disappointing. They're really easy because they're the last person that touched it. So really what we're saying there is that we like blaming victims. That might sound a bit pointed, but maybe let me unpack that just a little bit before we move on. Is that that person that experienced that outcome, usually, like 99% of the time, that person, that last person that touched it, that victim, found themselves at the end of a very long line of organizational weaknesses, problems, frustration, brittleness. And yeah, they made an error almost always, or maybe they made a mistake. Right. Yeah, I intended my actions, but they were with good intent. So I definitely didn't intend this outcome. A textbook mistake. And then they found they triggered that event. It's really easy to stop on the surface and say, well, if only you wouldn't have made that mistake. If only you would have, should have, or if you could have, or if only you would have cared enough to not make errors. So blame. Yeah, we go down that blame, shame, and retrain path. The reason why I'm going in this direction is this conversation I was having around the ability words and really around this principle of blame fixes nothing. That always seems to be the hardest thing for people to stomach because blame feels really good. And sometimes it feels like the right thing to do. But back to that principle, it doesn't really fix anything. And maybe let's rephrase that a bit, because I want to pull this into a bit of a balanced conversation around blame fixes nothing. Blame doesn't make things any better. Okay, let's rephrase it again. Blame stops learning. Okay, that's interesting. Let's maybe rephrase it again. At the very least, blame makes it really, 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 really hard to learn. Huh. Blame makes it really, really, really hard to tap into the vital information that we need to learn and improve over time, to operate our businesses. It stands in the way of us accessing the information that we need to make good operational decisions. So blame doesn't fix anything, right? Blame doesn't fix anything. Now, to pull this into a bit of that balanced conversation that I was hinting at, I want to ask you a question, and I've probably asked you this question before, but it's a question that I ask leaders all the time. Will you have true performance problems within your organization? Sure. Yeah, absolutely you will. Anybody out there that's been a leader, have you ever had somebody that's had like an actual performance problem? Sure. Yeah, of course. We need methods to be able to performance manage. And I don't know, but I think when we get into those things that push outside of our ethical boundaries, right, those things where it's, you know, deliberate falsification, lying, stealing, cheating, you're stealing from me, you're lying to me, you're cheating me, you're falsifying, you're committing fraud, those things, I don't think that those fall into that performance management space. And I don't think that they fall into the learn and improve space as much as those fall into the, this isn't to hurt you. This isn't to blame, shame, or retrain you. But you do not work here anymore. I think that's a fair thing. You don't fit into this little community. If you're willing to steal, lie, and cheat, I don't know that you fit in well here, right? It's kind of that emergency eject button, right, from our organizations. But as we move back towards this idea of performance improvement, this is where this conversation was getting very, very interesting with this person I was chatting with. I think as leaders, we need the ability to coach. We need the ability to teach. We need the ability to performance manage. And I think it goes into this idea of psychological safety and some of this definition that Amy Edmondson provided in, I believe it was the Fearless Organization, where we're talking about psychological safety, not meaning that we lower our standards. In fact, we have the highest of the high standards. But creating an environment of accountability beforehand, because accountability is not something that you can do to people after the fact. If you say this, I don't know who said this quote, I just read it and I can't remember the name, but if you say, oh, we need to hold somebody accountable, you've already failed, right? It's not something that you can do to people after the fact. It's an environment that you have to create before, right? We have the highest of the high standards, and we've created this environment of psychological safety or accountability, where when I cannot meet those high standards or I miss the mark on those high standards, barring I'm lying from you, stealing from you, cheating from you, committing fraud, when I'm not meeting those high standards or I miss the mark on those high standards, I can tell you and I know that you will give me a bit of grace and that you will treat me fairly. You will treat me how you would like to be treated if it were you in my shoes. That usually involves, in good performance management, hey, you're not quite meeting the mark here. You're underperforming around those things. Help me understand. Help me understand. Is there stuff that we need to do? Is the workload too much? Is the system wacky? Are things just not, what? How much of this is on us? What do we need to do? Teach us. Teach us how we can create an environment in which success comes easier for you. I think that's always the starting point, because we're assuming good intent, right? People don't show up to work to be lopos, low performers. Right? People just don't show up to work to underperform. They almost never do. Right? We start with the understanding that you're showing up to work to try to do a good job, and somehow it's just not working. Let's figure out from our end first the organizations and how we can make that a bit better. And if there are personal factors involved in that, let's talk about a pathway to redemption. How can we help you elevate to where you need to be a good, sound performance management? Where I'm going with this is saying that blame fixes nothing does not take out a leader's ability to be a leader. It does not remove the things that we know that when applied fair and justly, it does not remove those things that we know that work well. It does not remove my ability as a leader to fairly performance management when I'm operating under the assumption of good intent and that there's more to play here. There's more at play here than people just making bad choices. Right. There's a lot more at play there. We need to learn and improve. We need to help create an environment where success is easier. Yeah, we need to think about that from the organization's perspective. And then, and only then, if we discover that, sure, there are individual factors that I, as the recipient of this performance management, need to improve. Yep, we're going to work on that together, but I'm not dropping it all at your feet. So leaders need the ability to be leaders, to coach. Sure. To correct, to steer, to point in a better direction with a bit of more information that I might have as a leader, that perspective that I might have as a leader. But just as much to learn and listen and grow with those that we are leading, coaching, correcting, performance managing. Right? So blame fixes nothing, does not remove accountability. Back to what we were saying about accountability, let's go back to kind of that root definition of accountability. My ability to give my account, right? To tell my story, to share my story with you. Pulling that back into that definition that we were just kind of saying around psychological safety. We have created this environment beforehand. We have high standards, and we agree that we should have the highest of high standards, those targets that we aspire to. We have those high standards. But since we have created this environment, this true environment of accountability, I know that when I miss those standards, when I miss that mark, when you miss that mark, not only can we challenge each other and we can do that fairly, but when I personally miss that mark, I know that I can come to you and I can tell you, hey, I didn't quite get there. I tried like hell and it just didn't quite work out. And I messed it up. I broke it. Something happened. And I know that you were going to treat me fairly. I know that you were going to treat me how you would like to be treated. And I know that we're going to figure out how we move forward together. You're not going to come in there and blame, shame, and retrain me. You're not just going to come in there and say performance problem and that's it. We're just going to put you on a PIP. And if you don't shape up, ship out. It's not that. If we find that, you know, there are things that I need to improve, I'm all for it. You tell me how I can improve. I'm all for it. You tell me. You tell me. Let's have a conversation about it. You think I need to improve here? Well, let me unpack this for you a bit and show you, you know, that, yeah, it looks like this might just be me, but I'm dealing with this thing that's not working and that thing that's not working. I'm telling you to approach this as a leader with a healthy dose of curiosity, seeking to understand, and grace. Give people grace. I was watching this thing from Dave Ramsey not that long ago, and love him, hate him, somewhere in between. There are a lot of mixed opinions around Dave Ramsey, but it was one of those clips that popped up. And there was a story about an employee that seemed like they had a performance problem. Yeah, they're basically saying, well, you know, this employee is called out and this and that and the other. They're not showing up to work as much as I think that they should show up. What's the line? What's the line? Where do I just say, screw you, you don't work here anymore? And it was interesting to listen to it because the boss, this was like the owner of the company, was basically saying like, yeah, you know, last month their mom died and they had to miss work, and then they got sick and then they had to miss more work, and then they got pregnant. This is getting kind of, yeah, you're listening to it and you're going, yeah, but listen to all the stuff that happened to that employee, like, mom died, got sick, and now pregnant and going to be bringing a baby into the world and all the amazement and stress and all that stuff that comes along with everything that I just said. And your first place is default to, they've missed too much work, do we fire them? Whoa. yeah, so that starts to get a little rough around the edges real, real, real fast. And I loved Dave's response to this because it would have been easy to say, listen to what you just said. You sound like an idiot. But that's not what he said. What he said was that as a leader, when I'm 89, 99, 109 years old, hopefully much older than that, and I'm laying there on my deathbed and I'm thinking about what I want to be remembered for, Dave's answer, his personal answer, was I wanted to be remembered for giving too much grace. For giving the benefit of the doubt just a little too much. Why? Because I would much rather go a little bit too long than too short. I would rather err on the side of I've got good people working for me. They're doing good things and they're mostly creating good outcomes. People don't show up to work to do a bad job. I would much rather err on that side of the equation than constantly be wondering about, they must be getting something over on me. What kind of life is that to live as a leader or otherwise? It's not. I would much rather be remembered as the person that gave a little too much grace, that gave a little bit too much understanding, that gave just a little bit too much. I'd much rather be remembered as that kind of person. I think that brings us right back into what we're talking about. Blame fixes nothing does not mean that we don't performance manage. It doesn't mean that once you have a clearly demonstrated performance problem that you don't work with those folks, that you don't coach them, that you don't say, hey, listen, you're steering towards the rocks. You're going towards the rocks. Here's a pathway. I'm giving you a chart. I'm giving you the map. Here's how you can get away from those rocks. I don't want to see you sink. In fact, I'll sit down and we'll make this map together to get you away from the rocks. I don't want to see you fail. In fact, I want to work with you to understand where we're putting rocks out there that don't need to be there. I want to work with you to remove those rocks to make your life easier. Let's do that together. It's not saying that we don't do any of that. That's not what we're saying. I can't believe that anybody is telling you that that's what we're saying. That's not it. And in fact, to pull that even farther into maybe a more real conversation, if you go through that effort of let's figure out how we can work together to get that performance where it needs to be. And somebody says, screw you, I do what I want. I don't know. I don't think they probably belong in your organization. They probably don't. Is that bad? I don't think so. Again, it's not to hurt them. It's not to blame them. It's not to shame them. And I'm definitely not saying, well, you made an error up and out. No, that's not what we're saying either. Those are entirely different things. It's saying that leaders need the ability to be leaders. Of course, they need to be able to coach. They need to be able to correct, not in a parent-child way, but as a, hey, you're the all-star player. I'm just the coach. Tell me what you need. Let me know how I can help you. Here's what I'm seeing from my perspective. How can we work together to get that football down the field? Sorry, I'm not good at sports analogies. I'm not a sports person all that much. Yeah, I know it's weird. I'm just not all that into it. But you get what I'm saying. Blame fixes nothing does not mean that leaders do not get to be leaders. Leaders are still coaches. Leaders are still teachers. Leaders still have to performance manage from time to time. Every now and again, in the rarest of the rare cases, you're going to find somebody's lying to me. Somebody's falsifying things. Somebody's committing fraud. Somebody's cheating me. Somebody's deliberately out there trying to hurt people or hurt the business. You're going to find that in the rarest of the rare cases. And then still pretty rare, but not all that rare, you're going to find performance problems. And in those performance problems, as you start to unpack those, you're going to find that those performance problems, a lot of times, they're not just individually induced. They're coming from our systems of work. You're giving me too much work. The tools that you're giving me aren't working. I've got too much stuff, too little time. You're going to find things that actually the organization has more control over than the person does. And then a small sliver in that, you're usually going to find, sure, yep, I've got individual factors that I can probably improve as a person. Help me. Help point out that road, that pathway to redemption. Right back to our dumb ship analogy. Remove the rocks that you can, but give me a good map on how I can steer clear of those jagged cliffs on my own as well. And then the vast majority of what you're going to discover are errors and mistakes. Good people doing good work, creating mostly good outcomes, where performance management ain't going to do jack shit. Yeah, firing somebody, blaming them, shaming them, not going to do jack shit. In fact, it's just going to make your organizations grow quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter over time, to where not only do you not hear about errors or mistakes, you're not going to hear about performance problems. And even scarier yet, you're not even going to hear about those things where people are intentionally trying to harm you, your organization. They're lying from you. They're stealing from you. They're cheating from you. Listen, I know it's a bit rambly mess. I'm coming hot out of this conversation. It just happened just a little bit ago. But I think it's just something to think about. I just wanted to share that with you, that is really, it's just something to ponder on. I'm pondering on it as I'm sitting here rambling into this microphone as we go. I don't know that it does us all that good to really box those things out and make them super rigid and say, well, this is a people problem and this is an error and this is a mistake. If that kind of model helps you process this stuff a little bit, sure, okay. But I don't know that we formalize those things and make them super clear lines, because the lines are never clear. I think the things that I want to leave you with from this one, to pull all of this thought exploration, because that's all this episode is, into some maybe some clear bullet points for you. I think the first place that we start is maybe where we finished with this conversation, is that the rarest of the rare cases of our organizations, the rarest of the rare, you will find that you have people acting with bad intent, trying to cause harm. The people that I intend my action and I intend for them to cause harm. I'm lying to you. I'm committing fraud. I'm stealing from you. I'm cheating you. I'm out there. I'm trying to hurt myself on purpose. I'm trying to hurt others on purpose. I am trying to cause harm, and I mean to do it. That is the rarest of the rare in our work worlds. I think that you'll find that you have performance issues. I'm struggling. I'm struggling to get done what I need to get done. I'm struggling to meet the standards that the organization has set forth. But I think when you really dig beneath the surface of those performance issues, those problems, those performance occurrences, I'm trying to think of a way to maybe soften that up a little bit to make it not sound so pointed. I think that you're going to discover that a lot of those are organizationally induced, right? Wrong tools, clunky tools, no tools. pressures, problems, rules that don't make sense, all the stuff that we find in a lot of normal everyday work. A lot of that's going to be in the sphere of improvement. I'm not going to say control, sphere of improvement of our organizations, right? The tools aren't working, I can get you better tools. I'm overloading you with too much work that you're having to work on Saturday and Sunday. I can change that. I have control over that. And then a smaller sliver in that, you're probably going to find individual factors where it's like, yep, you know, listen, Sam, we start at 8. You've been rolling it at 8:45 every single day. I know you really like cold brew, but how can we come together to get you here at 8? That 8 o'clock meeting is real, real important. How do we make this work? What do you need? Here's the path. Here's the map. Here's my expectations. They're very clear. They're very fair. Right? I think there's that. And then we move over into those other things, errors and mistakes. Error, I did not intend my actions. I definitely didn't intend the outcome. Mistake, I certainly intended my outcomes, but they were with the best of intent, so I definitely did not intend that outcome. Those are all dramatically, dramatically different things within our work worlds. I think our problem is that we've tried to oversimplify. I think that we see negative outcome, or let's just call it surprising outcome, disappointing outcome. And we say, well, last person touched it. It's got to be a person problem. If only they would have. And we blame and we shame and we train. And we know that that doesn't make things any better. I think the antidote to a lot of this stuff is genuine, well-intended curiosity. So when you find that, hey, you know, you're not quite meeting that mark, you're not quite hitting those standards. We've got errors and mistakes. Maybe there's an outcome, maybe there's not. I think when we approach those things, hold on, cold brew sip, with well-intended, genuine, well-meaning curiosity, and we look beyond just what we're seeing on the surface, I think those things start to develop some clarity, right? We start to see those truly for what they are. Well, this performance problem, it looked like a performance problem. But, you know, Sam's showing up late. It's not because he's a bad person or because he really loves cold brew. You know, it's because his daughter's daycare doesn't open until 8:30, and he's doing everything that he can to get here, but it doesn't open until 8:30. How can we better support Sam through this? How can we add a bit of flexibility to Sam's day? How can we make this work? Because, you know, that's not fair either, right? Do I just demand that Sam go out and change daycare? Do I demand that Sam just show up to work with Avery? Like, what's that look like? Let's figure out what that answer looks like together. The other piece that I want to share with you, back to bullet points, accountability. When we start to toss around that word accountability, I want you to think about it as the ability to tell one's story, the ability to give one's account. To couple that back to that other thing we're talking about with that definition of psychological safety. First, it's not something that we can do to people after the fact. So when we say we need to hold somebody accountable, it doesn't work that way. You can't make me tell you stuff. And when we think about what that true definition of accountability is, my ability to tell my story, to account for my actions, you can't force me to do that. You can hold me culpable. You can blame, shame, and retrain me. You can beat me with a stick, and I still don't have to tell you stuff. There's a reason why we've shown time and time and time and time again that torture doesn't work. Waterboarding does not work. I'm just going to tell you anything then to get you to leave me alone. It's something that we create before the fact. It's something that we do beforehand, not after. So I'm creating that environment where we have high standards and we really want to aim and try our best to meet those high standards. But when I do not meet those high standards, I know that I can account for my actions and I can tell you about it. And when I tell you about it, I know that we're going to figure it out together, that you're going to treat me fairly, that if I broke it, you're going to give me an opportunity to fix it, that if I did wrong, you're going to give me an opportunity to right it, that if it's something that's outside of my control, you're not just going to pin it all on me. We're going to figure that thing out together. And the last bullet point, with all of this, maybe other than you're lying to me, you're stealing from me, you're cheating me, you're out to hurt people, I would encourage you to err on the side of giving grace. Back to Dave's quote, I would much rather be remembered as that leader that was fair, as that leader that created an environment, a true high accountability environment, where we have high standards, but people can openly discuss where they cannot meet those high standards. That environment where you can tell me the truth. As that leader, that when it even seems like we might have a performance problem, that I'm curious and I'm giving grace, that I'm overextending grace. Because the output of overextending grace is far better than the output of not giving enough of it. Thank you for hanging out for this little bit of a rambly rant. I've not done these kind of rambly me thinking in real time as we go conversations. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. We're always trying to bring more and more and more information into this conversation. So I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on responsibility, culpability, accountability? What are your thoughts around performance management and how that fits into our ideas of blame doesn't really fix anything. Blame actually makes it really hard to learn. Blame deprives us of the operational information that we need to make good, sound decisions to learn and improve over time. I would love to hear your thoughts on all of this. Again, because I'm just thinking out loud here. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. And if you need a bit of a hand on your hop journey, if you want to have some of these conversations within your organization, if you're looking for your next keynote speaker, if you want to dive deep into that 2-day operational learning workshop that we've got going on, let me know. I almost forgot to. We're doing some amazing things with my buddy Steve. You guys know we did HOP and Operational Learning in Las Vegas. Well, we're planning to do HOP and Operational Learning in over the course of 2025. As many of those as you would like to show up to. And what I mean by that is we're going to do them in various cities across the United States. They're going to be open registration. So that's an FYI for you if that sounds like something you'd be interested in attending. Now, we're also doing sponsorships to allow us to bring this to cities where we might not go. So what that means, if you are an organization and you would like to sponsor one of these events, we have several different opportunities, even all the way down to sponsoring happy hours and coffee breaks and stuff like that. It's a great way to get your brand out there if you have hop-related things that you would like to share with a hop-focused audience. But most importantly, in that top-level package, you get to choose where the city is at. And it comes with multiple event passes. And it comes with a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you are interested in sponsoring an event, send Steve an email, steve@hopimprovement.com, and we will send you over the sponsorship information. You can send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Or if you're feeling extra frisky, you can send me and Steve both an email at the same time. And one of us will send you over that sponsorship information. How cool is that? We're planning on doing, I don't know, like at least a couple of these. But however many people sponsor, however many cities you want to see us in, you let us know and we will make it happen. Again, we're openly looking for sponsors for these events at that time. The one in Vegas was just phenomenal. Holy crap, was it cool. Just hop focused people doing this in the real world. It really an immersive event. My favorite part is it just had so much real-time problem solving throughout those 2 days where we just get to, like, we form like this. It just kind of naturally happens. We start to form this circle and we're just kind of moving closer and closer and closer to each other, asking questions and talking and sharing real life experiences. So let us know. Again, steve@hopimprovement.com or thehopnerd@gmail.com, and we'll get you over that sponsorship information. And if you're just looking at being an attendee, again, it will be open registration. So as those dates happen or as they are made available, I will let you know here on LinkedIn and everywhere else that I can. So thanks for sticking around for this bit of a thought exploration into the ability words and performance improvement and giving grace and allowing leaders to do a leader things. Thanks for being here. Until next time, love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.